Here, the old gods are dead.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There you go.
Hey, all, this is a Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with Liam.
Hi.
That was a little one.
We have much to say.
Oh, trust. You will be dealt with. You will be dealt with. Kelly MacDonald. Count your days.
Kelly MacDonald, you will be dealt with. So for the title of this episode, you probably can that this is going to be a bit wisps. So we are going to have a wee chat a bit Brave, the Pixar acclaimed film. Mm. It's all right. We'll talk about it in a minute. We'll get our pop culture digest out of the way first.
Yeah.
We're ins and outs. Although mine's isn't like pop culture related. Mine's is actually me related. My in this week is that I played badminton.
It's a badminton. Because in.
Well, I'm one of the people, not if you like on like an exercise hype, but like every time like I go running, I'll do it for like a week and then I'm like, right. Or like I can't go to a gym, so every time that I exercise, it has to be something like
it has to be fun,
and I have to spend a lot of money on it for it to be necessary. Because I used to roller skate, and now I play badminton, and I've got really bad carpal tunnel, so that's why I lost. I did win one game.
This retcon. She didn't have carpal tunnel until after.
I'm getting a wrist brace.
Professional had it not been for her carpal tunnel.
I'm making that my whole personality trait this week, is that I've got carpal tunnel. And it's really holding me back.
Self-diagnosed carpal tunnel. That's like a new one.
For me, it's a new one. These are the other things that I self-diagnose myself with. Maybe I should get off TikTok. The girls who get it.
Oh, another in. Bodies, I guess.
Oh, aye. I went to see Bodies, which is a Gen Z slasher film. I really liked it. Pete Davidson is in it. Other people are in it. Rue for the Hunger Games is in it. I can't remember her name. It escapes me. Amanda Steinberg. Aye, she was good in it. It was really good. It's written by and directed by Gen Z and millennials, I assume. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like poking fun at people who are like mine and Liam's age. And there's a bit, not going to spoil any what happens, but there is a character who has a podcast. Like that's her Gen Z stereotype. That's her Gen Z stereotype. And she goes on this like wee monologue where she's like, "It's very hard. You have to like get a Google Calendar and book guests." And I was like,
"She was
like,
so valid for that."
And my head was in my hands. And my girlfriend was like laughing at me. I was like, I ken that I'm a Gen Z stereotype, but I didn't really ken that podcasts fell into that.
Targeted harassment.
No, because the most people I know that have podcasts are like older millennials with nothing to say.
Yeah.
No offense to them.
That felt pointed. I know who you're talking about.
Though there's like people from this city that I have heard. I'm like, okay. Let's take a breather for a second.
Two people have one funny FaceTime call and went, we should buy mics.
That was us.
No, you're going to get me the origin stories of this podcast, but...
Not us dragging other people, and it's like literally just narcissism of small differences.
literally.
Okay, my in this week is Real Housewives franchises. I have been consuming that shit to no end. So I recently caught up with Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, which is like Real Housewives All-Stars, which is when they take different housewives from different franchises and they put them all on a girls trip. But this time it was called Ex-Wives Club. So it's all ones that are no longer current housewives. So it was nice to get a catch up on all of them. And it was literally one of the most bizarre things I have ever seen. Like, none of these people should be friends. None of them. Not even like, no two together should be friends. As was told by the drama. And I think that's why they chose this cast, to be fair.
What does one need to be like annexed for the real housewife? How do you become an ex-wife?
Well, one of them, Phaedra, lied in a very defamation lawsuit kind of way about another one. So it's bad. Although sometimes they literally like physically hit each other on Housewives of Atlanta and like nothing happened. Anyway, Brandy Glanville, an ex-wife from Beverly Hills, she was on it and she accused a woman of being a lesbian. Like one of the caterers of being a lesbian. And then Phaedra asks her, what made you think the woman was a lesbian? And she goes, her eyebrows.
Valid. Very valid. Me when Taylor Swift speaks.
It got to me because I was like, I say that.
You text me that and then went, no, but this makes sense because of you, because of your girlfriend, and then because of another lassie that weekend.
And your ex-girlfriend and her girlfriend.
T.
Oh, I love it. And then the producer asks her in the confession sort of area, they're like, so what is a lesbian eyebrow? And she's like, when I see them, I'll tell you.
I bet the woman that she accuses of being a lesbian is a queer woman.
Yeah. I mean, she had a husband, which was the problem. But like, that doesn't mean anything, really, at the end of the day.
Speaking of Taylor Swift.
You could
Taylor, if you're listening, please send us tickets.
Send us tickets to the midnights listening party.
Midnights.
I don't know.
I bought, obviously, because I'm a Swiftie and she's my favorite capitalist, I bought like Ken House, they send you emails, marketing emails.
Yeah.
It was like, pre-order now. And then I pre-ordered the first version because I was like, I didn't do that with Folklore and I live to regret it. I got a special version of Folklore and I hate it. I just wish I got the original one. And then she released like all the sexy pictures that were on the new versions of the vinyl. And I was like, great, now I've got the ugly one. And now she's like, buy all four. It turns into a clock. I'm like, you're fucking...
That's smart.
She should be studied. Like, she should be studied. Her marketing techniques should be studied.
Well, she knows the lesbian demographic. They love, like, interior design shit. A clock? Are you for real?
Aye, like, it's for the maximalists. Like,
I can't wait
to see it.
You're joking about it, but then it's like, I will see that in your room one day, so.
You probably will. Like, as soon as I win the lottery the night, which is, like, the Euro Millions, 153 million.
Every week. And I say,
yeah, yes, manifesting it, I will win the lottery. My out this week is my poverty. I will be winning the lottery. But I will be getting that clock. You've got to buy all the different like part, like the wall mounts for each vinyl and then the clock part in the middle. And I think they like just the clock part's like 60 quid. Like,
shut up.
And folk will buy it. Like, she, like mine earlier the day, we were talking about how Lana Del Rey makes really solid albums. And then for the last two or three songs, they're a bit weak. And it's because they're filler songs because her record label want her to make a double LP.
It's so annoying. Like, it's so annoying because, like, Yosemite is always obviously supposed to be the end of chemtrails. And then it would go so nicely into Textbook, which is the start of Blue Bannisters. But then they add in like a Weyous Blood song and like another two. And I'm like, was it necessary?
If anybody listening has like a favorite artist who whose main demographic buy vinyl, you would notice that like if they've made a double LP, there'll be weaker songs on it. Whereas if it's somebody who just makes like normal music, doesn't care what platform it goes on to, they'll hear a really solid album that might be like under 10 songs and it'll just be on like a single LP.
I want that.
Lana Del Rey's like, they know. They know.
Work hard.
They work hard to sell the vinyls, and I buy every single one of them.
They need to pay Jack Antonoff. They need to pay him. All of the proceeds from the double album go to feeding Jack Antonoff in Lana Del Rey's basement. So,
anyway, I feel like that is quite a long pop culture take that we went on there. Like half our listeners who like are not into Lana Del Rey or Taylor Swift have tuned it.
To all the straight men, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we're so sorry.
To all three of you. My out this week, my out, working in retail. Finally, I'm free. I got my new job. I will be commuting every day to Edinburgh, but it's worth it. I'm doing something I want to do, and I don't have to deal with the general public, so.
And you don't have to live in Edinburgh.
Exactly. I win on every account here. To be fair, I was in Edinburgh yesterday. Queen's funeral. I was there.
Were you? Let's not get into that. You were there for something else. Let's be serious.
I was. No, but I just went to visit because I was like, oh, the trains are like back to the fast train. So I was like, I'll go see Isabel. So,
Queen.
Speaking of.
Speaking of horrible accents, not Ishbel, Edinburgh. No, Kelly MacDonald's from Glasgow, actually, which makes this even worse.
Yeah.
So, obviously, for pseudo research this week, we both watched Brave, and I have notes.
They were
and
Brave.
It did come out like 10 years ago, eh? And technically, yeah. Merida is not a like real Disney princess because she's like a Pixar princess. Whatever.
People love to stipulate that. Anti-Scottish sentiment.
So it's Merida Princess, played by Kelly MacDonald, our mum's Emma Thompson, who has quite a good Scottish accent because I think her mum was a Scottish actress. And then Billy Connolly is the dad. My first note right off the bat in my notes app that I was writing during my watch is Kelly MacDonald has the voice of someone who has used a stagecoach bus. Billy Connolly's accent, thick Scottish accent, it fits. Emma Thompson's nice wee Highland sing-songy accent fits. And then
I liked it. I felt represented.
Yeah, I really liked it. But like Kelly MacDonald, I have an actress friend, Isla. You may recall, feel like that one ad she did. But I say this to her all the time. Anytime Isla acts, she's got like a Kelly MacDonald accent. And now I'm just calling it the Kelly MacDonald schooly acting because all young Scottish women just immediately start to talk like Kelly MacDonald when they act. But it's just, I could, anything Merida or Kelly MacDonald said, I had to repeat it.
Yeah. It's like
if you
a
had
runoff.
The chance to change your fate, would you?
That is exactly what it's like. I was like, this bitch cannot possibly be Faye, like Loch Ness, which is what they're making it look like.
I mean, the whole thing was confused in terms of like geography, let's be real, and accents.
Also, any man that speaks in it, especially Billy Connolly's character, he plays the dad, his mannerisms and everything. There's a bit where they're like sitting around a dinner table and they're all talking to each other. Well, they're all arguing, basically. And it's very much like that scene for Shrek 2. Like, even the way that Billy Connolly's character like puts his arm on the table and stuff. And I'm like, he's just Shrek. Like, I think the like whole like the Pixar team watched Shrek and went,
they whitewashed Shrek. Let's be real.
Literally. But every male character in it is just Shrek. Billy Connolly goat, though. Also, Merida's a lesbian.
Let's talk about it.
She's a lesbian.
She is a lesbian. That's all we're going to say on it.
There's no much else to say. Like,
yeah, people say like Elsa, first Disney princess who is gay. And I'm like, actually, Brave came out first. And people are like, that's Pixar. And I'm like, well, Elsa's a queen. So like, neither of us are right, I guess.
I also did make a note Oh, well, before that, the Merida has wee triplet brothers. This is so bad. This actually feels like, this feels racist almost. They're called Hamish, Hubert, and Harris.
I mean, Cara, you know Cara, that was on the pod. Viewers, listeners, you know Cara that was on the pod. She has three brothers, two of them are twins, and they're called Callum, Fergus, and Connor. So, like, it's kind of the same vibe.
My pal's cousins, there's three of them, and they're named Isla, Ross, and Lewis.
Nice.
That's good, eh?
That is
But
good.
Hamish, Hubert, and Harris. Yeah, they might as well have just called them Hamish, Haggis, and Harris.
Hamish, Haggis, and a bagpipe.
I would like to say the most exciting note that I've got in this is I think it's the part where Merida is in the witch's cottage or whatever. Like, obviously, like, as a princess film, a spell is cast. Anyway, there's a chessboard that appears, and it's the fucking Lewis Chessmen. They're based on the Lewis Chessmen. I went mental. I was watching it with my girlfriend, and I was like, oh my god, it's a fucking Lewis Chessmen. Get in.
I like the bit where she puts the potion in the thing and the witch starts speaking Gaelic. Like, she starts putting them all in.
I noticed that. That was cool. There is, like, cool bits. It's a very weak film until the mum turns into a bear, though.
Dipped in the waters of Mother Loch. Like, she ate.
Mother Loch?
She ate. The bear is the best character in the whole film. So funny.
Oh, there's a bit where she, like, claps, like a little queenly clap. I rewound it like 5 times. I've also got the GIF saved to my phone.
Yeah, and also the little, like, when she was using the cutlery.
Queen. Yeah.
The horse was cunty as well. I liked his little hairy hooves.
What was his name? Douglas or something, probably.
Angus.
Ah, Angus. I have to say, this is besides Brave. This is just something that happened to me in a pub.
Oh.
I was speaking to a man.
You saw a man about a horse?
No, better than that. So I was speaking to a guy in a pub, and he was really upset, and he was talking about how his dog had died in the past week and stuff like that, and he was showing us pictures of his dog and stuff like that, and we had been talking for like an hour, and I was like, oh, I'm really sorry, I've not introduced myself, I'm Rebecca, what's your name? And he was like, Douglas, and I was like, fuck. And like, my girlfriend was next to me, and she was like grabbing my leg, she was like, Denny. And I was like, literally, like, in every group chat that I have, being like, I am at a pub right now with a man who's crying over his D-Dog and his name's Douglas. And that's how we're going to end this segment. Like, I think.
That's the spooky hole for today.
Aye, that's in place of the spooky hole. But we'll take a wee break as per, and then we'll come back and we'll actually talk about Wisps, which is why we watched Brave in the first place.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Will-o'-the-wisps have loads of different names around the world, but in the Highlands of Scotland, they're called Spunkies, and for a very obvious reason, and because it's what I ken them as, I'm just going to call them Will-o'-the-wisps or Wisps. So, for ages, Wisps have appeared as a ghostly lantern light or as a glowing spirit of the dead, which is seen in the distance by travellers that, if followed, would eventually lead them to their doom. The term Will-o'-the-wisp comes from wisp, which means a bundle of sticks or paper which can be used as a torch. And then the Will is like the first name Will. So it's like William of the Wisp. Now, I can't be the only one. And I think you might be with me. And I reckon if it's Brave that confused me, or I used to watch like the cartoon Will-o'-the-wisp. But I thought that the Will or the Wisp was like the Will. Like it's what the Will wants. It's like what the Wisp wants is to like bring people to their doom.
I thought it was like, yeah, like their like power, basically.
Yeah.
Like
they're, no, they're, it's just like the name, force. William.
That's cunty, I guess.
Right, I just,
do you know they have like a million Gaelic names as well? Chinna Sia, which is like fairy light, fairy, fairy fire, because Solas would be fairy fire.
Yeah.
And then there's like Chinna Sunachan, which is like fox lights. Or something, but they all have like various different like origins. But like, I just thought it was cunty.
So the name Jack O'Lantern is also the same as like Will-o'-the-Wisp, Jack O'Lantern, Jack of the Lantern.
That makes sense.
It does make sense.
Why is it just boys' names though? Like, why is it just some guy?
Why is it no Bex?
Bex of the Bog.
Bex of the Bog. Me inserting myself. So why do we call them Spunkies in the Highlands? The word spunky comes from the 1530s Scottish word for spark, or which ended up being spunk, meaning tinder or spark. So like a burst, which is where the like
other
I think
words
we,
come from.
Yeah, other words.
Makes
There's
sense.
An elephant in the room I'm not addressing right now, but also like what you hear Americans say it quite a lot, like, oh, she's so spunky, like she's feeling stuff like that. And everybody in the UK is like, that means something else.
Don't
here.
Say that. If you've ever seen Skins, they say it a lot.
I think that word's like fawn out of fashion. Thank God.
I think it's so vile.
It does make me feel sick.
It just seems unhygienic.
I would like to say, though, speaking of Scots words that ended up being dirty, mind that time that I double-checked what the etymology queef was, and it's actually a Scottish word.
Is it?
It's Scots, yeah, and it's used in, like, the north of England, but, like, its roots are in Scots. Queef. Anyway.
Or is it, like, a gust of wind or something?
Basically. It's like, as it sounds. It's one of them. What is it? Onomatopoeia or something? So... Wisps are often found in bogs and moors, so it's no surprise that these spirits are found all over mainland Scotland, Ireland, and then literally the rest of the world. Like, every single culture has some variation of a wisp. There's hundreds of names for wisps, and they can change depending on where they are found. Wisps that are found in graveyards are called ghost candles. I think we did speak about these briefly in Scottish Customs and Superstitions Part 1. The appearance of ghost candles were often said to be seen flickering just above the ground near the home of a person fated to die, or along a corpse road where a funeral procession would soon take place, gone to a church. The lights might also be spotted hovering in place where a grave would be dug, and in some cases the person who saw the light would soon face death, which is similar to like when you see a wisp when you're just walking, it means that you're doomed very fastly approaching. The name Willy the Wisp has stuck due to its use in folk tales, and in these stories, typically a man called Will will be doomed to haunt a bog or moor with a light for some evil he has committed during his life. My primary source for this whole episode is Catherine Briggs, an encyclopedia of fairies, pogos, and whatever it's called.
Oh my god!
Every single folklore episode we have, I'm like, well, time to crack out that PDF that I have. If anybody does want to fund the Creepy Wee Podcast research and buy me a hard copy of Catherine Briggs's fairy encyclopedia, it's about 150 quid. It'll be a charitable donation.
I know at least one of you fuckers is rich. Share the wealth or stop listening.
Buy our merch or buy this book. So, in this book, Briggs tells a story of a man called Will Smith. I'll let that hang in the air.
Keep your fire out of my wife's fucking bog.
Will is an evil blacksmith. He dies. He's given a second chance at the gates of heaven by St. Peter, and he's sent back to Earth. When he gets back to Earth, he leads such a bad life, he ends up being doomed to wander the Earth as a restless spirit. And he makes a bargain with the devil, and the devil gives him a single burning coal to keep himself warm, which he then uses to lure travellers into swamps and bogs where, I assume, they get stuck and they die. So that's how he uses his, like...
Gift.
So he doesn't learn anything. He's just like, I'm just going to continue on the path that I'm on.
This is fun for now.
So in European folklore, these lights are believed to be the spirits of the dead or fairies or a variety of other supernatural beings which attempt to lead travellers to their demise. It's the same no matter where you go. Sometimes the lights are believed to be the spirits of the unbaptized or stillborn children flitting in between heaven and hell. And in Sweden, the wisps represent the souls of an unbaptized person, like trying to lure people into the water so that they can baptize them. So it's like no malicious in Sweden. It's kind of like they're trying to like warn people, like, come into the water, I'll baptize you. And it's like, oh, sorry, you drowned. Maybe I'm not qualified for this. Around Europe, Willy the Wisps are said to have marked the location where treasure is buried. So if you see a wisp in the distance and then go to that location and dig, you'll find some treasure. Sometimes in folklore, magical tricks or even a dead man's hand, which is the dried and pickled hand of a hanged man, were required to uncover the treasure. So that's kind of like given like
seems
a Zelda
like a
puzzle or something.
Yeah, it's giving Breath of the Wild. wait, are there not wisps in Breath of the Wild or something? I swear.
There are in other Zelda games, like there's a thing called Po, which is like a captured spirit in a bottle, which is very much a wisp.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Japanese version of wisps are, but I assume that the name is probably Po or something like that, because that's what they are in Zelda. It is believed that if you see a wisp and you're wanting to use it to hunt for treasure, that autumn is the best time to watch for wisps. So if you just want to go and find some treasure, you should probably get it into the bogs right now. It's a hot time for wisps. Any stories about wisps?
I do, actually. And I'd like to preface this by saying to the Outer Hebrides, thank you for keeping the lights on at the Creepy Wee Podcast. thank you for paying our bills. You're keeping us booked and busy, and we'll be going on a trip soon. So we'll be contributing to your tourist economy, which bangs, by the way. So back in the day, dyeing materials for like your clothes were made majorly of like florals, mosses and lichen on trees. This is because when you boil them, like a lot of pigment is like released from them generally. They can be like really bright pink colors or reds or yellows. And in olden times, in Uist and Bembicula, is that how you say it? I've literally never heard a person say it, but like it's between like north and south. I know where it is on a map, but I don't know how to say it particularly, so sorry to anyone from there if you're listening. Ladies' bedstraw, or rue in Gaelic, used to grow in like vast expanses in meadows and on the outskirts of marshes, and the flower, both the flower and the root of this plant, was popular for dyeing clothes. The flower, when you boiled it, would make a yellow pigment, and the roots would make a red pigment. We were very resourceful back in the day. Don't know what's happened now, but Scotland kind of on the decline, I've got to say.
Cottagecore bringing it back.
Although there's kind of a warning in this story about that, because due to the desirable traits of this plant, it was being overfarmed and landlords had to put a ban on harvesting to give the plant time to regenerate. So they were kind of doing the green thing. So in this one instance, landlords were good. To any landlords listening, I do not apologize for that statement. however, the vibrant colors that the plant would give were like addictive. Like it was like people were like, I love this color, like give me more. And they would, like, so women would like sneak out into the moors under the cloak of darkness and like start harvesting it again, which I love. Like that's dedication to the bit. Anyway, a farmer, I believe his name was Callum, on the island, who was he was a nice farmer, and he was married to a wife who was pretty evil. She was considered a witch, as were most people in Scotland back in the day. and their young daughter all lived on the island. And the daughter decided that she was going to go out at night and collect the forbidden plants for dyeing their clothes. And the mum was like, if you do that, you'll be carrying your mother's curse and you won't be coming back alive.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know, right? And the girl didn't listen, but as foreseen, she also did not return. Anyway, shortly after her disappearance, people started seeing a chinamor, which is like translates like big fire, I believe, which is another name for will-o'-wisps. It looked like a small fire in a human chest cavity. And some speculated that the fire was in the chest of the farmer's daughter. And it was her ghost wandering the marshland of the island until the end of time, because her mum had cursed her. I'm normally like pretty well informed on like Scottish like old wives' tales and stuff, but this one I actually got from the Learn Gaelic website. It's like there's like a blog part of it, and I do recommend it. You find some like interesting stuff there, and it all has the Gaelic translations on one side and the English on the other side. So I can't recommend the website enough as a resource for anyone who wants to learn Gaelic. Okay, so I'd be remiss if I was to talk about will-o'-the-wisps. I love saying I would be remiss. I had a biology teacher that used to always like add something, and she'd be like, I would be absolutely remiss. And I was like,
it is a podcasting trope as well. I feel like I do it quite a lot. I would just be remiss.
It's such a fun thing to say though. I would be remiss, me and my partner. They're kind of like the same kind of person would say that. My partner and I. Me and my partner would be remiss if we did not mention it. Anyway, I would actually genuinely be remiss if I didn't mention Robert Burns when talking about will-o'-the-wisps and spunkies. So you know how he's like often referred to as like Rabbi or Robbie? Mm-hmm. So when he was like writing letters and stuff, he actually didn't really refer to himself as either of those names particularly. He used like a whole plethora of pseudonyms. Like he was a bit of a like...
He was a cheat.
He was like a meme edgelord guy that liked to like just make up shit. And he used to refer to himself as Spunky a lot. I bet he did. He knew what that word meant in terms of like will-o'-the-wisps and stuff, like even though he's not particularly Highland related per se.
He did travel the whole country like picking up different folklore stories. Stealing. Though, so probably stealing.
On top of this, like his more like mystical poems like Addressed to the Deal and Tam O'Shanter both have mentionings of bunkies by name in it when he's listing various goblins, ghouls, etc. But on top of this, I've also been reading a book called the Works of Robert Burns and His Life, which is majorly the life part of it is written by Alan Cunningham, who's another Scottish poet in his own right of a similar era, couple years after, like maybe a generation behind. Cunningham basically scoured all of Burns's private journals and unreleased works and stuff and letters to other people. And one of the little anecdotes that he has about Burns in it with regards to his own poetry, he said, I have much to answer for. My success in rhyme has produced a shoal of ill-spawned monsters who imagine because they make words clink, they are poets. It requires a will-o'-the-wisp to pass over the quicksands and quagmires of Scottish dialect. I am the spunky. They follow me and sink. Which, first of all, very good like imagery use using the will-o'-the-wisp twice to say that he's kind of like above it. But this is like an Azealia Banks level diss on someone, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, it's a good read.
It is a good read.
Credit where credit is due.
He may not have been the most personally imaginative person, but he could read. He could definitely read.
So there isn't a lot of more folklore, but there is some mundane explanations into what Willie the Wisps actually could be. Now, sightings of wisps do not exist anywhere. This could be because they're seen on land that was that has been over-farmed or has been built over. So you won't see them anymore because the main theory for what wisps actually are is the expulsion of bog gases, which is natural methane, then being ignited and turning into like a kind of phosphorescent flame. Another theory is that it's like phosphorescent algae, which doesn't make sense because travelers would follow them and they have often been said to have been moving. Also doesn't make sense for it to be like bog fire unless it was like in succinct moving patterns, which could definitely be possible. But if that's what they are, then over farming or the expansion of like settlements could be an explanation for that. Even then, folk have done studies on like natural gases to see if they like produce lights, but they didn't really. They kind of produce like a colorful smoke that hangs in the air, but no like this bright light that like people
fire.
In every culture around the world, it's like fire. It's like blue or green fire. It's no, I don't know. Maybe it's like when you turn a Bunsen burner down. Something like that. Okay, and I'm like quite bad for being like, this folklore's true. Because I want it to be.
But this one, like,
but this one, this one, I think.
There's merit in it. There's merit in it.
There is merit. Yeah, so that's been this episode of the Creepy Wee Podcast. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us at Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast. TikTok is the same. Twitter at the Creepy Wee Pod. And if you want to visit our website, thecreepywepodcast.co.uk, you can buy merch. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Bye.
What should I sing? Do you believe in that?
The one before.
Okay, wait, hang on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.